All right, greetings, folks, this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to have you with us on this Sunday morning. What is this, August the 1st or 2nd or August? August the 2nd, 2020. Summer's moving right along. We just welcome each of you that are with us this morning throughout the Lord's body and wherever you may be on earth, wherever you may be around the world. We welcome you to join with us as we look into the reality of our being in Christ. And that's what we've been talking about for some time. We have a lot of folks that are scattered out this morning that are not here with us. And Rabin and Kim Bird are in South Carolina this morning because of the death of Kim's father. And the funeral was held yesterday, I understand. So let's just remember that family. That the family has been part of this fellowship for as long back as I can remember, from the very beginnings. And precious folks, and still very active in the ministries of Christ. So let's just remember them this morning. We have another family here that is out because of sickness in the family, and that's a local family. And that's Daniel Brown and one of his daughters, one of his children. And let's just remember them in our prayers. As far as I know, the rest of us are Richard and Judy are in South Carolina as well. They're at that same part of that same family, and they're there because of that same death. And the death, once again, is Kim Bird, Kim Bird's father. And all of you know Rabin and Kim, and you know, I say all of you, many of you know Rabin and Kim and Richard and Judy as well. So here we are, and it's good to be here with you this morning. I was up here all day yesterday, and back again last night. And just looking at and putting together some notes on what I wanted to say to you, what I wanted to say this morning. But when I got up this morning, I knew that this simply wasn't the time to say it. So I'm going to continue where we were last week and trust that the Lord will just minister to our hearts together. And it's with regard, as we have been saying for a long time now, our union with Christ. And there is such a need for our understanding, for those who are born again, those who are genuinely Christians, not just by organization, not just by denomination, not by religious order, but by the indwelling Christ. And the need is so great. for our understanding, so great that we, the need being so great that we should come to an understanding, and that we should be, that we should live in that understanding of our union with Christ. And I trust that the Lord will just open our eyes together, that we can see that, and see that in the midst of a world that has no concept of Christ, a world of religions. Every race, every creed, every kind pretty much has their own religion. And even some of those religions then are split into so many divisions that it could hardly be called one religion. But there's religions all over the world. Religion is not the answer. God did not, in His wisdom, in His love, in His mercy, in His grace, God did not give us another religion. He gave us His Son. He gave us His Son. And in the scripture where John is writing, in the Gospel of John, concerning the coming of that Son upon the earth. And he says there that he came to his own, and his own received him not. And I can't help but think and believe that that to a large degree is still so today. The Jews of that day simply substituted their religion, which then had become the religion of Judaism. It was based upon what Moses had taught, but it really wasn't what Moses had taught. And it was based upon the scripture, but they really had no understanding of the scripture. But they still had a form. They still had a form, and they worshiped that form. And Christ just didn't fit the form. And yet he came to his own, but his own received him not. The salvation of that statement is the end of it. But as many as received him, to them gave he and gives he the power to become the sons of God. And that power is in his life. L-I-F-E. Honey, life, as it is defined in the scripture. I know how it's defined I sat right over on that table this morning because I had it over here last night reading it, and it's an unabridged edition of Webster's Dictionary. The thing probably weighs 10 or 15 pounds because I looked up life in it. Life. Then I knew I wouldn't find life as it's set forth in the scriptures, but I wanted to see what Webster said. And Webster tied life primarily to what we call humanity, acknowledging throughout two or three pages there that there's all kind of uses of life, and there is plant life and animal life, and there is life jackets, and there is life support, and everything with life is in there. But the beginning of it distinguishes life as mankind. And the life that Webster is defining there is that which relates to mankind. That of which mankind is the most exhaustive demonstration. Man demonstrates life in a different way than a tree does. You understand? The most exhaustive demonstration of life is in mankind. So mankind and life goes together. And out of that comes lives, L-I-V-E-S. If it wasn't for life, then the word lives, L-I-V-E-S, or the word living, would not exist. It's all about life itself. And I've been thinking this last several days and all day yesterday, wouldn't it be great if humanity, just humanity, understood life as being humanity? Now, see, you have to put it in a box, because the life that we look at here, the life that the Scripture sets forth, is for humanity, but it's not found in humanity. It's found in Christ. So it's an altogether different life. And that's the life I'm going to go ahead and talk about this morning, because I realized through the night, waking up, and this morning, that everything I had to say, if I sat here and actually said it, would never be accepted, and probably would be misused and misquoted. But it's the truth, nonetheless. And I'm not going to, because then I would simply be accused of being political. I haven't got a political bone in my body. I am a citizen of the United States of America, and I do believe in voting, and you can be sure I will be at the polls on November the 3rd. But not for politics. And yet that's one of the things I know that it would, I knew it would be, I know it would be. But there is an answer. And it's not found in all the little stupid slogans. It's in life itself. The life of humanity. The life of humanity. What matters for humanity, hon? Now, the ultimate intention, the ultimate is Christ as our life. But if I was talking to everybody on the face of the earth right now, a very large percent would not hear me, because to them, Christ is just another religion. But Christ is not another religion. And with a lot of Christians and Christian organizations Christianity is a religion, but it isn't. Not true Christianity. True Christianity, in its very beginnings, in the seed, S-E-E-D, it's not a religion at all. It's life. It's Christ. And that life is the life that God intends for humanity. But that life is eternal and is only found in Christ. It's the ultimate answer. But the life I've been talking about to you here, and in Webster's dictionary, is just the life of humanity itself. If I had, and I'll say this much, if I had a theme, if I had a slogan that I was going to paint on my shirt or paint on my car or paint on a sign or paint on the streets or do whatever, you know what that slogan would be? And it would be that because of the understanding of Christ that is set forth in the Scripture and revealed by the Holy Spirit. But you know what my slogan would be? For humanity, with regard to humanity, it would be simply this, and yet profoundly this: life. L-I-F-E. Life. Not lives, because you can separate lives and put them into this category and that category and some other category. It would be life matters. Life matters. Because you see, life gathers into itself all humanity. All the way around the world, all the way from the North Pole to the South Pole. It gathers up every color without even recognizing the color. It gathers up every race, creed, and kind without even recognizing it. Life just gathers together humanity. You understand that? No, you don't. And that's the problem. You don't. We all have our little breed. Oh yeah, we call it race, of humanity. And in others that are more stupid, call it color, of humanity. And we know nothing of humanity itself as defined by the word life. Life matters. It does. And that's just natural life. Now we miss all of that. We miss that. So, I'm going to leave it. I had an awful lot to say about it, and I still do. But you have to have some kind of understanding to hear. You got to have some kind of understanding to hear. And I look around and watch the news and see all of the ignorance, and I realize there is very little understanding, period. It's not so much about humans having understanding of things as it is humanity having an understanding of itself. And that's what I wanted to talk about. But it's got to be on the basis of some kind of an understanding. So we continue here with what we call the gospel, what is set forth as the gospel to humanity. But humanity has just created them a bunch of religions, and so they settle down in that. Really hadn't brought much of an answer to humanity. Humanity is still dead set on destroying itself and killing itself and burning itself. And it isn't funny. It's just kind of a sick joke. And yet there are those around the world, and by the grace of God, I've been privileged over the last 60 years to be in more countries than I can even remember. But in enough countries that I've been with, most ever color, race, creed, and kind, all that humanity has been divided up into, I've been there. And I wasn't there for the race that was there, the color that was there, or even the religion that was there. I was there to present life beyond humanity. It was there to present that life which is Christ, and to present what we've been looking at here, the reality of a new creation in Christ Jesus. And there, none of the parts of humanity really do make a difference, because there we are because there is not Jew or Gentile, or all the divisions of the Gentiles, or bond or free. It goes on. Paul talks about this. There is a new creation, because there Christ is the life of every believer who is joined unto him. Another body. Not a bunch of bodies, but one body. And that's what we are, hon. Those who are born from above, those who are by the Spirit baptized into Christ, are one body. That goes beyond being one nationality. We're one body. One body. Goes beyond being one flesh. We are one Spirit. That being the indwelling Spirit of Christ. For he that is joined to the Lord is one Spirit. Oh, there's many souls, my soul, your soul, because we are souls. But God desired, determined, planned and purposed, and brought about that Christ would be the life ultimately of that soul. Of that soul. That's the reason Paul could say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, yet not just Paul, a soul. Paul having soul life, self life. It's not salvation, Paul would say, is not a better self life. Yet not I. Not I. Self life. Not I. But Christ. Eternal life. Liveth in me. Eternal life, hon, is Christ. It isn't something he gives away out from himself. It is something that he is. It is something that he is. Blessed be the Lamb of God. I will just say this much to the humanity of the world. God has a lot better answer for you than you just destroying yourself and then blaming it on somebody else. Blaming it on all the parts. I mean, you know, you've got the hand taking a knife and stabbing the foot and then blaming it on the ear. That's inhumanity. I mean, all of those represent different races or colors or religious understandings or whatever. God has a better answer for humanity than humanity does for itself. And God's answer is the cross. The cross. For there we come from an old humanity to a new creation in Christ. So I'm going to continue with that. Because I know that there are many of you out there that hear what I'm saying with regard to our union with Christ. And so it's to you that I'm speaking. But I wish humanity had an ear to hear. I wish humanity had an ear to hear. Jesus says, however, except my Father draw by his Spirit, you can't come to me. Why? Because the Lord knows our heart. And if he sees a heart that really wants to have something beyond the wreckage of humanity, even humanity in its best state, then he deals with that heart concerning another life altogether and draws that heart to Christ. I've seen that happen around the world. I've seen that happen everywhere that I've been. And those folks are still there, and I still communicate with them. Not because of the natural origin that they have, not because of the natural race that they are. No, I communicate with them as who they are and who they will be eternally, and that is a new, an altogether new creation in Christ Jesus. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And those earthen vessels are made out of dirt, and that dirt, I guess, is every color in the rainbow, and it doesn't really make any difference because it's the treasure that makes all the difference. It's the life of Christ that makes all the difference. And therein we have fellowship, because he has called us into the fellowship of his Son. So I want to start here again, and then I want to finish up in reading some verses to you. So I'm talking to you who are in Christ. But you know, it's impossible to talk to you who are in Christ and that it go out on the internet by whatever carrier. Ours is YouTube. And it goes around the world, and it goes into country after country after country. So it's impossible to just talk to those that are in Christ without other parts of humanity hearing. So I'm talking to you. My focus is upon you who are in Christ. My invitation is to all of those who would be in Christ. May the Lord lead us together and work by his Spirit together. Now, I'm reading out of one of our workbooks, one of our manuals here. Let me see. Oh, yes, the recovering of Christ. The recovering of Christ. It's a series. And in it, I found, as I was going back through it, again, it's been a long time since it was written. And I've been reading to you from just one page. This is a transcription of some Bible conference that I did somewhere at some time. We trust that we will just allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak to our hearts such things as the Spirit says and hath said in Christ Jesus. Now, we've been dealing with a particular truth in a series with regard to the recovering of Christ, with regard to the new creation that you are in Christ Jesus. And what we've been focusing upon primarily is the purpose of that creation. The purpose of that new creation in Christ. We also dealt with the disruption of the world. That is, one world passing away, one creation passing away. Now, obviously, we're not talking about trees and grass and ground. But the world order, the world system, the old man, the old creation passing away. And we found that that judgment took place in the cross of Christ. John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 23 through verse 33, tells us clearly that it is during that time that the Son of Man is lifted up upon the cross, signifying what manner of death he should die. At that time he brings that judgment into the world. And that at that time the prince of the world is literally cast out, having that creation that he has so long subdued and dominated brought to its absolute nothingness, with the purpose of a new creation coming forth in Christ, wherein Satan has no place. Well, now we want to deal with the purpose of new creation. And I'll tell you, I'm not talking about some creation that is yet to come. We're talking about the new creation which you now are in Christ Jesus. And if you know your Bible and your scripture, sir, and you are scripture searchers, surely you're aware of the places and the volumes that are involved in the scripture declaring that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You that have come to Christ. You that are born again. You in whom Christ dwells. Some few of those verses being in Ephesians 2, the volume of that chapter, particularly verse 10. In Ephesians 2, "For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." Need to read that whole second chapter of Ephesians. And not only that, but 2 Corinthians. And right here in 2 Corinthians, and this is where I go here, this is what's printed here, and the rest of that session that is also printed here. It's 2 Corinthians 5. We've been looking at it. But I want you to look at it again. See, that's the problem. We've been looking at it. Jesus says, "You search the scriptures." And he tells that to the Jews. "I know you look at them. Your prophets wrote them. You've got them rolled up. I've just unrolled it and read out of it to you." He did that in the very synagogue. And he told him, he said, "I know that you search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life." But it's like he's saying, but all you do is just read, and you read, and you go through them, and you read them, but you miss the whole message that is there. You think you have eternal life. And then he looks right at him and he says, "But they are they which testify of me. And you won't come to me that you might have life." And I can't help wondering, hon, how many who say they are Christians actually in their understanding mean, all their understanding is just this, saying that they're a Christian means I'm a member of the Christian religion. I believe in the Christian religion. I'm a member of one of the many different denominations in Christianity. I wonder if that's their understanding of when they say, "I'm a Christian." Or if it is of their relationship with the person of Christ himself that they're speaking, which it should be, our union with Christ. But I wonder sometimes, because he came to his own there, and then he told his own in another time there, right in their synagogue, and said, I know you search the scriptures. You do search the scriptures. You do it every day. I know that you do. Because you think you have life doing that. But those scripture, every one of them that you're searching, and he read much of it to him, all of it, he said, they testify of me. I am real. I am life. See, that's the point, hon. Even what I was going to talk to the life of humanity. Humanity has all of its different religions. Well, okay, big deal. There's no life in any of them. There's no life in any of them beyond just human life. Christ is eternal life. What's the difference? Well, human life ends with death. To Christ's life, there is no end, and there is no death. Why? Because he is not just a word defined as Zoe, Z-O-E, life in the Greek, in the scripture. He's not just a word. He is the very sum and essence and completeness of that word. He is the life of which that word testifies. And he may well be the word that lives in you, but he's not the word Zoe that lives in you. He's not even the word righteousness that lives in you. He is the righteousness of that word. And he is the life of that written word, life. Why? Because he is also the eternal word of God. Not the letter, but the spirit. We have the spirit, not just the spirit of life as a terminology, nor the life-giving spirit as a terminology. Now we have dwelling in us the spirit of Christ. Paul says, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If any man be joined to Christ, he is one spirit. It's that spirit that Christ is. It is the living spirit. See? All right, spirit of life, that's true too, but say it differently. It's just like all of these so-and-so lives matter and lives matter and lives matter. As I said, the thing that I would do would take an eraser and erase the first part. Then I'd say lives matter, and I thought, well, we just erase lives because you can divide them up, and let's just put life here. Life matters. I don't think humanity can even understand that, however. So I'm back to that which, by the Spirit of God, we must understand, and that is Christ is the life that truly matters. Above and beyond the life of humanity, because humanity, hon, is on a downgrade hill and no brakes on their train. The answer, the absolute answer, is Christ. But you see, as I said, unless the Lord has dealt with your heart and drawn you to a real union with the Lord, you hear me say that and you just fluff it off because I got my own religion. That's a great excuse of humanity. It hasn't stopped humanity from killing itself, though, has it? Or trying to destroy itself. Or even trying to destroy the whole history of itself. Let's just wipe out the whole history and see if we can start all over again. No, you can't. The new beginning is only in Christ. And it doesn't exist anywhere else. You're not going to have a new beginning of trying to destroy everything else around you. That isn't going to work either. It's so needlessly stupid when you actually look at it. But back to a new creation in Christ. Second Corinthians 5. Verse 4. For the love of Christ constraineth us, not the hatred of God. Not the hatred of God. The love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for all, then all died with him. God brought the end of the old creation. He brought the end of it to the cross in the very person of Christ. The Adamic creation came to the death that was declared in the garden. Thou shalt surely die. But therein is the mercy of God. There is the mercy of God. Some talk about putting someone out of their suffering. It's just an act of mercy. You know, humanity doing that to humanity. Well, humanity has no right to do that to humanity, but this is what God has done. As it were, he has brought that whole humanity into the sufferings of Christ. Christ suffered the death of that whole humanity. Why? So that those of the dead who heard the light, the voice of the Son, who would hear the voice of life and receive him, could have newness of life. The new creation is not the old one made better. It is the old one replaced by a new. It is not me made better. It is me crucified. Dead. And miracle of miracles then takes place. Born from above. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. New life. Newness of life. Who is it that liveth in me? Life, L-I-F-E, eternal life. Himself. By his own Spirit. Hallelujah. A new creation in Christ. We thus judge that if one died for all, then all died with him. And I'm in 2 Corinthians 5. And in that he died for all. And that word "for all" there means gathered up all humanity, past, present, future, into the body of his death. Only Christ could do that. Only the Word of God, only that Word which was from the beginning, in the beginning with God, the same in the beginning, was God. That Word made flesh, dwelt among us. John's Gospel. Jesus telling the Father, or it is spoken in Hebrews 10 concerning Jesus, saying, "A body hast thou prepared for me." Born under the law, born of a woman. Why? That he may taste death for every man. That he may bring every man into that death. Every soul into that death. You understand? So that Christ could be unto that very soul who would hear his voice and receive him, Christ could be unto that very soul the resurrection and the life. And that's what a new creation is. It is that which comes forth in the person of the resurrection himself and live, not only be raised up, but live in that very person, to where Christ is the resurrection and the life. That's what he doesn't divide that up really as two different things. Another place in the Scripture, it is called the resurrection of life. Eternal life itself, quickening life. The life that quickens our soul and brings our soul out from among the dead. And then that same Spirit living in our soul. The resurrection and the life. Christ in you. And that's what I'm talking about. Yes, I'd love for all humanity to hear that and come to it, but they're not going to, and they certainly haven't done so yet. But to you who would know him, I cannot declare a religion when I understand that salvation is a person. A person. Yes, life-giving spirit, but a person. What is Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1, 2, and 3. Look at verse 3 there. Talking of Christ concerning his relationship with his Father. Read it. Who is he? He is the brightness of God's glory. He is the express image of God's person. You understand? Our salvation is the person. Not the historical person, the one who by Spirit lives in you, the one who is by essence, by substance, eternal life. Darling, he lives in you. You're born from above. He's the above. He's the one. A new creation in Christ. Let me go ahead and read down to that. Verse 15, in that he died for all, that they which live. Now this is not that they which live have life in Christ, they which live have life, should not henceforth live unto themselves as though they had a life of their own aside from Him who has raised them up and dwells in them by His Spirit. No. But unto Him which died for them and rose again. Not just Him that brought them into His death, but live unto Him who rose again and now dwells in them as His very own body, which body, darling, we are. And that's what he's saying here. The whole point is that if we died with Him and He now lives in us, then we who live should not live as unto ourselves, or as if we were still limited to the life and to the races and the colors of humanity. Because we're not. Oh yeah, this earthen vessel, this dirt pot. But the treasure is in me and in you. Our soul is there. And in that soul dwells the very person and essence of life eternal. And darling, we don't have any other life. We don't have any other life. That is not a negative statement, because the life we do have is the life of life. Just like He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, great God Almighty, He is life of life. And hung with salvation, that is exactly what matters. No, not the little doctrines I believe or don't believe. Not the little divisions that I want to pay allegiance to or not. Because all of that's in Christianity, the world of Christianity. No. What matters is life Himself. You see, I saw that in humanity, way over here, another picture, another side of the blackboard. In humanity, in a natural way, that is true also. But humanity is just too stupid to ever understand that, because they look at themselves in the flesh or in their alternate religions or in 101 other ways that stresses only diversion and division, not oneness, not one humanity. No. Just a bunch of parts fighting. My God, how could anybody that is sane take a slogan like that and support it with all of their money or all of their business or all of that when it's just a part and doesn't represent the oneness of humanity at all? Again, hon, it's like the foot shooting the hand and the hand shooting the eyeball. It's like the nose being dumb enough to say, I have no need of the mouth. And Paul uses this. It's important because he uses this talking to the Christians, talking to the church. Well, all right. We're talking these weekdays, these Sundays, and other times, we're talking about the reality of being in Christ. I've been talking about that in relation to a new creation because the verse, let me read it. I have enough minutes to do that. Verse 17. Well, look at verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We would have to get rid of all of our stupid slogans, wouldn't we? Because life itself, even human life, has no color. You might want to think about this. You might want to think about it. Henceforth, since what he's been talking about up here, the cross and a new life in Christ, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Why? Why? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, the better version at the end of this verse is, behold, the new is come. The new of the new creation is Christ Himself, in whom we have newness of life. Well, let me say again, because it really fits heaven and earth. It really fits that which is in Christ, that which is upon earth. One being the greater than the other. But let me close by saying, life matters. And whether in humanity or in Christ, if life doesn't matter, nothing else Nothing else does. Well, the Lord bless. It's good to be with you this morning. And just to greet you in that glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not someone who is far off, but who liveth and dwelleth in you and in me, his body. His body. Blessed be His holy name. Thank you, folks, for being with us. If we can be of any help to you, please don't hesitate to let us know. I enjoy hearing from you, whether it's on the phone or internet or handwritten letter, hand type. Doesn't make any difference. Enjoy hearing from you. Mostly I enjoy sitting down and talking with you And here we're doing that. I realize that you're not in the building, many of you, most of you. But I enjoy that. And I thank you for you who are given to helping us with this. We thank you for it. May the Lord richly bless you for your support. It isn't in order that we may maintain the status quo or even add to it. No, it has to do with the outreach of this gospel. Part of that outreach you are seeing and receiving right now. And we thank you for helping us and making it possible for us to do that on a regular and continuing basis. So I appreciate it. I appreciate your support. May the Lord richly bless you for it. Amen. That's it.